morning. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And thank you for Ruth Antiojo and all the Sunday school team and the teachers and all the kids involved. That was awesome. Thank you. You guys did an excellent job and shared the testimony of Christ, shared the proud heritage that we, many of us, have been born and raised in. And each culture has its great heritage, and may we always take pride in that, because God has allowed each and every one of us to be who we are. Today we're going to change the sermon text. We're not going to do the one in your bulletin. It's my error, so please bear with me. But anyway, so we will remain seated for the reading of the gospel text today, so that if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can. It's hard to stand and fumble through Bibles. So anyways, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read chapter 2, because Josiah motivated me. And we're going to read verses 8 through 14. That's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, reading through 14, continuing in Jesus' name. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that you would guide, lead, and most of all, Father, reveal yourself. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, for we know your word is truth. Amen. The Christmas season is a very powerful time of year. It's an exciting time of year. A lot of us get very involved with the traditions of the Christmas season. A lot of us get quite excited about getting that special gift for the individual that we love or the individuals that we love. Some of us get pretty excited wondering what we'll get. But the fact of it is, ever since we were young children all the way up into our elder age, I'm sure that Christmas is quite the motivator. I think it spurs within us generosity, kindness, a softness. I have a tendency to believe that a lot of people get a lot more sensitive near the Christmas season. And there's good reason for that. Because it symbolizes, and not only symbolizes, it represents, it is truly the representation of God's greatest gift. The only other place that this is shown so powerfully would be Easter, which is quite the contradiction to the Christmas. In other words, in our minds, it's totally the opposite. We really, at the Christmas season, we focus on the giving of the Christ child. And we get very, very sensitive in this area, and it's a very, very positive thing. But then we get to the Easter season, and we look at the crucifixion. But yet that is just as powerful, if not all the more powerful, than even this season. And it's not to rob anything away from the Christmas season, because the gift was given. But really what we see is the fruition, the completion of that gift in the Easter season. So for each and every one of us that comes here today to hear of the gospel message, to hear of the power and the might of God, the influence that He has in our lives, the completion of that really takes place in a few months. When you consider what was going on in this time, in the time that Christ came, we look around and we see, even in their time, of the influences that Rome is having on the Israelite people and the struggles that they're going through. Now that may not make much of a difference to us. That may be something that's so far and beyond that we may not pay a lot of attention to it. But it was real to them. And we live in a day and age now where there are a lot of strong influences that is trying to encourage us in different areas or trying to bring us to different areas. And so I think it can be just as important for us to understand today who God is and the gift that He offers. In this time, there was a census that was going out. Really, what was taking place is the people needed to be counted. They needed to know exactly how many of the Israelites did exist. And so we find very straightforward that Joseph and Mary, they're going to Bethlehem because they are the household of David. And they're going back to their heritage so that they can be counted. And we're given such an intimate scene here. We're given a very personal insight of the great news being distributed to the people. And it says very straightforward that she had brought forth her first son in the previous verse, speaking of the Christ child. And this needed to be announced, and this was such a celebration to be announced that they did it in quite a special way. And it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And it's an interesting thing. When you start dealing with God, and you deal with the might and the power of God, you would not picture that the announcement would come in this fashion. We see how we live in this world nowadays. If we're going to make a great announcement, if our president's going to make a great announcement, they'll pick some great and grand spot. And they'll have all the TV cameras, everybody there, to make sure we get as much publicity as we can. And it will come off in a very mighty and a powerful way. We'll often depict the boldness, the power, and the richness of our nation when we make such a great announcement. But here we're given something very intimate. If I could say, very simple, but yet very powerful. That actually takes in this Christmas season, and I believe touches a lot of individuals very, very sensitively. That God came to the commoner. That it wasn't to the religious elite, it wasn't to the Pharisees, it wasn't to the scribes, it wasn't to the Sanhedrin, it wasn't to anything like that. The announcement came to the very simply plain. The workers. This was such a powerful, powerful time, and yet the message comes to shepherds out in the field. And when we look around in this day and age, often we have a tendency to believe that, who am I in the scope of things? What do I matter in this big world? But yet God saw, and God knows, and He did not withhold, but rather He sent His angel directly to these shepherds that are watching the flock by night. You know, they're on the graveyard shift. Not even the highest job. One of the lowest jobs, actually, within the Israelites. And when the angel comes, and he came upon them, it says really that the glory of the Lord just shined round about them. And what does it say? Often what this world says, be afraid, be scared. And they were afraid. And which one of us would not be? Which one of us would not be very nervous if we were to be in a field somewhere and all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere there's this big light that comes around you? But not only that, but yet you feel the presence of God. You feel the power. How many of us in our life, when we've been dealing with struggles or issues, or dealing with things in our life, and we asked for help, how many of us have felt the presence of God? I have. Now, can you imagine being out in the middle of nowhere, not expecting to see anything, but yet the glory of the Lord shows up, but not only that, the presence, the feeling in the presence of His messengers. And they're afraid. And this is often how human beings can be when they are in the presence of such goodness. And the angel turns around and he brings this message that is very consistent with this Christ child's ministry throughout the next 33 some odd years. They bring the message of fear not. Don't be afraid. Do we hear this message today? When we hear even these young kids speak and share of the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gift to the world, do we hear the message most of all of do not be afraid? Don't be scared. As Apostle Paul would say to us, if God be for us, who can be against us? And this is the encouragement that we need to live in. This is the encouragement that we receive from God the Father. And this is the encouragement that the Holy Spirit gives us each and every day. Do you have peace? I'm not talking about the religion of men. I'm not talking about the systems of men. I'm asking, when you are with yourself and you are spending time meditating with yourself on the Word of God or whatever it may be in your life that is important, do you have that peace? They come and they bring this message in the midst of fear and turmoil. Fear not. Why? Why are we not to have this fear? Because there's good news in this. They're coming to share something that is mind-blowing. They say, behold, or look, I bring you good tidings. I'm bringing you great news here of great joy that should be for what? Some of the people? Some of the elect few? Or maybe some of the boys that do it right? That's not what he shares. In the middle of this field, in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord comes and says, don't be afraid, because I am bringing you such fantastic news that there is no room for fear. I am bringing you such great news for all people. This is for the world. And that is hard for us as human beings to understand, because we are workers by nature. There's no doubt about it. We take pride in our work ethic, and that's wonderful. But when it comes to the grace of God, there is no work that human beings can accomplish. It is a gift. That's what Christmas represents. The gift is given to the world. Did he come, even when we look to the Easter season, did he come just to die for my sins and my sins only? Did he come to just die for the elect few's sins? But what does the Scripture say? Not Jesse, not any other pastor, opening our Bibles, looking to the Word of God, what does it say? He died for the sins of the whole world. This is great news. This child came in your behalf, my behalf. Heiki, Toivo, Eino, whoever you may be, this child came in your behalf. And he came to pay for the sin debt, not only that you have acquired, but that this world has acquired. And it is given as a free gift through faith. And there is a key element, faith. When we spend our time living in fear, when we spend our time trying to guard the fences all the time, we spend our time trying to protect everything else, how can we ever share the message of faith with other people? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. That's why it's so important that these kids get up here. That's why it's so important that they share the testimony of Jesus Christ. That they share the gospel message with you. That God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. Fear not. Fear not. Because this angel says, I have such exciting news. I have such great news that is not only for you, but it is for each and every one. He says, because today is born to you in the city of David. A what? a really cool prophet? No, that's not what it says. Really smart guy that'll be able to fix a lot of things and feed people? No, he did a lot of that, but that's not what it says. He says, a Savior. And that's what I need. I needed a Savior because I was lost. You need a Savior. This world needed a Savior. And that's what Christmas is. When we were lost and we were blind, God sent one to save us. It's not about what we can perform. It's not about how many times we go to church. It's not about the great acts that we may do, and it's not about the big fat checks that we write. It is about what God has done for us in our behalf. God loves you. You so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Because you needed saving. I needed saving. And the guy down the road, the guy you don't like, the guy you love, needed a Savior too. There is no qualifier. The qualification in reality comes back to knowing the gift. By faith through grace, for it is a gift of God. Now when we turn around and we look at this, he says there is a Savior which is born. Christ Jesus. Or Christ the Lord, he says. We lost sight of what Christ means. For some people, Christ is a swear. It's a filler. That's disgusting and whatever. For other people, it's, you know, his last name, Jesus Christ. If he was to sign checks at Superior National, it'd say Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. It means he's the Messiah. It really means he's the sacrificed one. He is the anointed. And when we come down and we understand the blessing and the anointing that he receives, do we really truly understand that in the Christmas season? Can you imagine right now, for any of us that face difficulty in this world, if all of a sudden there was somebody that was able to wave a magic wand and to say that for Christmas, your problem goes away? You know, maybe it'd be one of the people at Superior National. I'd wave their wand and say, your mortgage is gone. Your debt is gone. Maybe it'd be some special doctor that could wave and say, you're healed. We'd be pretty excited, wouldn't we? Because we received one of the greatest gifts that ever could be given, right? Well, God did ultimately more. He gave us the anointed one. The one to take the place upon the cross for each and every one of us. He is the one that has given you truly your life back. This is the most exciting Christmas that we could ever have. Because we were dead men walking, but yet God loved us so much that He came in and took our place upon that cross. He redeemed us. This is the excitement of Christmas. That I now have life in and through Him. Praise be to God for this great gift. This is the excitement. That's why this angel gets excited and says, I'm bringing you great news. The best news you've ever heard. And it's not just for you. It's going to be for all people everywhere. So we can't segregate upon this. The Savior was given. He says, and this is going to be a sign to you, that you will find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then what does it take place next? I think this is something that quite often we have a tendency to overlook. But I think heaven gets this. Heaven gets it. We like to act stoic in our own way. We like to be conservative in our own thought often. Even when we talk about our Finnish heritage, the one thing that often we leave out is we're very stoic people. We like to be very sober. Heaven gets this. Because it says very plainly in verse 13, and suddenly, out of the middle of nowhere, there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. What were they doing?
So with the angel comes this heavenly host. And it says they were praising God. Praising God. Do we get excited over the gift that we have been given? When we think of Christmas, is it just about the next Apple product? Is it next iTunes? Whatever it may be. Is it your next video game? Those are great things. I like them all. I don't have an Apple, but whatever. I eat one every day. I know that wasn't funny, but I thought it was funny. But anyways, the fact being is, what do we get excited about? It says the whole heavenly host was celebrating over the victory that was given for us. You ever watch a young individual playing some sports and they're very, very hard-driven people? They're so focused on their game. And they may be the team leader with points and everything else. And I'm not a sports guy, so I'm trying to make this up here, so bear with me, okay? But the fact of it is, you sit there and you watch them, and in the game, they're leading all the way through, and they do all these great shots, they get all the points, and everybody's excited. The crowd's going nuts. But that person is disappointed that they didn't get 2 or 3 more points. That person leaves there realizing that they could have done better somehow, some way, and they're disappointed. And they miss the victory around them. And the people are excited. Everybody else comes up congratulating them. And we have this false humility where we say, well, I could have done better. I could have done better. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this doesn't get any better. God has given us the greatest gift that could ever be given upon this earth. He poured His life out upon that cross for each and every one of us. He has redeemed us. He has bought us back. Whatever terminology you want to use, He has given us everything. This is the excitement of Christmas. It is because of this gift that we truly can go out and enjoy the rest of the season. It is because of this gift that we can enjoy getting even those material things. It is because of this gift that we have freedom to enjoy what life has to offer. The whole heavenly host celebrates this great victory. And they praise God and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. We oftentimes want to pray for peace, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we pray for peace continually. But the fact of it is, as long as there's human beings on this earth, there probably will never be this natural peace that we seek for. But the fact of it is by in and through Jesus Christ, there is peace between us and God. No matter what may happen in this world, no matter the dynamics and the changing times of this world, our relationship is secure before God by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that is something that we need to keep our eye on. As Brother Marx even said in his prayer, yes, we will do our part. But it does not change our relationship between us and God. May we always remember how blessed we truly are. May we truly embrace the aspect of not fearing, but rather living in the victory and in the celebration, as even the heavenly host does. Praise be to God for the gift of life. Have a blessed Christmas. Enjoy your time. Share with your family. But most of all, celebrate with your heavenly Father over the greatest gift that was ever given, the redemption through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You allowed so many to come to visit today. We pray, Father, that everything that is said and done here today would bring inspiration to their lives, but also bring honor and glory to You. We ask that You would allow many others to continue to come, to fellowship, to encourage and strengthen one another. May we all share in that love. We ask, Father, that You would bless our Sunday school, that You would bless each and every one of the students, and we thank You for allowing them to come up here and to share with us. We thank You for the parents that bring them. We ask that You continually bless them also. We thank you for the staff that takes care of them, that looks over them. And we thank you for their services. We thank you for Ruth, who puts dedication and heart into this program. We pray that you continually bless her and her family. Most of all, Father, thank you. Thank you for this Christmas gift. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.